Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes, you are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport, and we are presenting another show for you. Fresh off of OTAs, the final OTAs with media availabilities before involuntary minicamp next week. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. We got Elijah Campbell rocking the switches, making this thing sound the right way. Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ, will be coming on. And, of course, Chris Sanders, as always, talking shop. I think it's probably good that we'll kind of get into some of the things that we got to see at the final OTAs, media availability. And we're going to kind of bounce around, but I want to hit an assortment of topics. And what we'll start off with is Dylan Raidens. As you all know, Mike Vrabel, when I asked him if they're getting to a point where they foresee him as a particular position, Mike Vrabel said the right tackle is where Raidens has been working mostly. Still left it open for him to kick inside. I think it really does look like he'll end up being the right tackle. That's the position he was originally drafted for. That's what Mike Vrabel said that he hopes that, you know, he could start at. When asked about him starting, he said, yeah, well, I hope that all of our players could start. So kind of take that for what it is. But let's hear what Dylan Raidens had to say about being able to focus on one position and also the competition at right tackle.
Like you just said, it's nice to focus on one position, but we're still going through the process. I'm sure I'll get some guard work here and there, work along the lines. But, yeah, as of for now, it feels good to be able to focus on one position, just hone my skills in on
that.
I mean, as a competitor, obviously, but we're going to, like I said before, the top five who earn it are going to play. So hopefully, I mean, obviously I'm a competitor. I'm going to try and earn it. So, yeah, I mean, if I earn it, I think I should for sure.
So that was Raidens. Just obviously excited of being able to work at a specific position. We know that, you know, there's a good chance that he'll bump back inside. I think, you know, that competition there at right tackle will probably come down to Raidens if they sign a veteran. I think Nicholas Petit-Ferrard will be in that mix as well. So there's an assortment of guys. That is something that they need to solidify sooner than later. And when you look at Ben Jones, right, you know, and Luan, whoever's in between them at left guard, that's a relationship that they have to start building immediately because you have to get familiar with those calls, the stunts, and those type of things. And nowadays, there's so many games and twists that defensive linemen do. So the more you could get on the same page as far as the thought process and everything, the earlier you could do that, the better. So that's why it's really important for them to get that left guard and right tackle position ironed out. And another thing with Dylan Raidens, I don't have the audio here, but I talked to him a little bit about just being able to just go out and play football. He's a very cerebral guy. That's something that Keith Carter, the offensive line coach, has said early in the process. And, you know, sometimes he'll get caught thinking too much. And whenever you're thinking of football, that's going to slow you down. Football is very much a reactionary sport. You have to be able to just see it move and do what you got to do, as opposed to trying to process stuff that will slow you down. And Raidens, fortunately for him, in year two, he says that he's at a good place where it is able to just happen for him, as opposed to trying to, you know, he understands the why to things and just is able to react naturally. The other thing was strength, and that has repeatedly been a reason why I felt like he would be better suited on the outside as opposed to in the phone booth going against some of these D tackles that are just brute strength guys. It's better for him to be on the outside where he could use some of that athleticism. But he said that gaining more of that core strength is something that he really worked on. It's what he worked on before the draft when he was working with Joe Staley, a 49ers legend, that left tackle. He played left tackle for them. I believe he played some right tackle in college. But nevertheless, he was a guy that was known for his strength, and Raidens worked with him. So we'll see how that works. But that's not the only thing that obviously we were looking at at OTAs. I think also you got to consider there's a forgotten man, honestly, in Logan Woodside. And so much focus is on Ryan Tannehill and Malik Willis. Understandably, you know, Willis is the future. Ryan Tannehill is the now. But Logan Woodside is just kind of caught in the middle of everything. And I thought it was pretty cool what he had to say about the process and just how things are going. Here's Logan Woodside on where he is now.
I stay prayed up. I trust the process. I don't cheat the process and just try to come in each and every day, be the best version of myself and let it play out how I will.
Has there been anything you feel like you kind of focused on or worked on particularly this offseason?
I think just trying to be more consistent. You know, I've been in the system now for 3 or 4 years, so I obviously know the offense really well, and just getting with some of these rookies, some of the receivers, and just trying to bring them up to speed and kind of what I'm seeing, and just building those banked reps with those guys, I think has been big.
Here's the thing. I'm not opposed to Woodside being the number two right now, and it's funny because I was at Anthony Firkser's camp, and I was talking to Mason Kinsey, and I surprised him this past weekend when I said this. I said, you know, I don't think it's a bad idea for Woodside to be the backup right now, you know, and the reason why is that guy could come in and operate the offense. Yeah, you're probably going to lose some of the downfield passing, but I think you'll be ultra efficient, as an offense, you know, 20 yards and in. He has that because, as he mentioned, this is his third year in the offense. He knows it like the back of his hand. I'm not opposed to that. But one other thing that Woodside is here to do is help bring Malik Willis along, as well as Ryan Tannehill bringing him along. And you're seeing that. I'll say another thing about Woodside that I really like is his energy. Now, you watch him at practice, right? They go from individual period to to install to 7-on-7 or to team period, he's running over to the guys and he's like, come on, let's go. You know, that's positive energy. You need somebody like that. Even though he's not guaranteed to play, you know what I mean? You need somebody like that. So the energy is there. And even being somebody for the receivers, for the tight ends, for the other quarterbacks, Willis specifically, to come to after a play and discuss some things, it's all a part of the operation, and I think that's really good what Woodside is doing. And speaking of operations, Pat O'Hara, the quarterback coach, he got into just detail about teaching the operation to Malik Willis. This is pretty cool stuff. Check it out.
A lot of young quarterbacks, when they come in, you really have to teach the operation, what we call the operation. And the operation is really everything you do before you even touch the football. It's a huddle. It's a play call. It's a cadence at the line of scrimmage. It's under center. It's getting us into the right play at the line of scrimmage. It's shifts. It's motions. And there's an operation that has to take place during a play clock, 40-second play clock. So there's tasks, and those tasks are all part of the operation. And each day that's improving. It's really been good. And, you know, we just keep moving forward one day at a time.
Now, that process for Willis is a little bit different, just like for a lot of other college quarterbacks. I mean, Willis is used to looking to the sideline, and there's a picture of a hamburger and Hulk Hogan and maybe Peter Pan, and that's how he gets the play call. That's not how it works here. So there's a reason why they're working through the operation and focusing so heavily on it is to get Willis to a point where, just like with Raidens, it's second nature, right? You're not thinking, oh, wait, what is that play call? You're just going in the huddle. You're spitting it out. You're making the reads, and you're playing football. That's the point that Willis is going to get to. But right now, they're breaking it down from the ground up, as Todd Downing said, so that way they all could see things through the same lens, and it's very important for that to happen. Moving on to another topic, because this was a very revealing OTA period. We got some clarity on Treylon Burks. I thought it was really interesting. Rob Moore has some things to say to receiver coach. Here's Coach Moore about Treylon Burks, the expectations, what his setback is, and more.
A lot of different ways, man. Treylon's worked hard, comes in early in the morning, board work, walkthroughs, everything you could think of, mobile client. We do it's a lot of different things to try and shorten the learning curve and get them caught up to speed.
A lot of focus on the negative with him. You know, it's just the problems he had starting off. But what are some of the positives that you've been able to gather?
That's unfortunate. You know, some of those things that happened kind of out of his control. Just, you know, the kid, you know, he's got asthma. You know what I mean? Those things, you know, happen. But, you know, in regards to, he understands what the expectations are, but I think at the end of the day, it's just really him getting himself immersed in the culture of how we do things here, how we play here, which is different from every player that comes in here from college, because we ask these guys to do things that a lot of teams don't ask them to do.
So there are some things that you've liked that you've seen from
him? Oh, yeah. I'm excited about Traylon and what he's going to be able to bring to this football team. He just has to get himself healthy and be able to show everybody out here on the field, you know, what he's capable of.
So there's clearly expectations, right? Robert Woods said it last week, right? He needs Traylon Burks to push him. And you look at some of the prognosticators, they have Traylon Burks as a high option for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, I don't necessarily get down with that, but it's possible. You look at the situation. So I'm just really intrigued by the whole Traylon Burks situation. There is some disappointment there, obviously, because, you know, he's not out there performing like a first-round pick, like you would expect a first-round pick. But the fact of the matter is, you turn on the tape, there's a lot to like. So at some point, he has to get to a perspective where he's able to transfer that into the NFL. But speaking of transitioning into the NFL, Caleb Farley, last year was a tough year, right? He missed so many games, had the torn ACL. But he's approached the process of just getting back on track, knowing he has the opportunity for a starting position. They're happy. They're pleased with the results so far. Here's Anthony Midget just on the progress he's made as he's gone through the recovery process.
Short period of time.
Mama's been good. He's been coming along, been engaged, been having a good off season, been here every day, working to get better. Everything we've actually done, he's been able to do.
What are you looking for him to do, just to, like, take that next step? Because it seems like he's going to progress into a starting role.
Just continue to come in every day, just to, you know, be on top of the details that we're talking about for everything we're doing, and just continue to work, just keep busting his butt in the training room, whatever Todd and, you know, Coach Ray, them give him the okay to come out here and compete, be ready to roll.
So that's Anthony Midget, the DB coach on Caleb Farley. Since we're talking about him, might as well hear from him himself. I like some of the things he said here. Here's Caleb Farley.
I have put on some weight. It's more about just being in good shape. Less important the weight and more about just being strong and in good shape and healthy.
How have you approached the offseason, you know, knowing that this is a good opportunity for you to nail down a starting spot?
I'm just taking it day by day and enjoying the process and loving what I do and, you know, trying to – put everything I have into it to continue to gain the respect of my coaches, my teammates, the community, and just be thankful for my opportunity.
Where are you as far as a mental standpoint, as far as the confidence and the knee and being able to cut and plan on it and everything?
I'm extremely confident. I'm always confident, and I'm mentally better than ever I've ever been.
So that's something that's really good. You never like a guy to have to go through a lot of injuries, right? But the fact that he has the experience of working through it, his mind, like, he's able to process that and kind of develop that confidence rather quickly. And I think that's a major thing. And that's typically the last adjustment that you have to make when you're injured. Now, obviously, he's in practice with the yellow jersey on. Did get to see him do, like, some of the click and close type of drills. And I was impressed. Like, it seems like that suddenness is there. I actually posted a video on Twitter on Tuesday of him in the backpedal drills and those type of things. And he's definitely, there's a lot of intrigue with him because, you know, the ability is there. I mean, watching his tape, you fall in love with his movement skills at that size. I mean, I forget who it was, but they said they haven't seen a guy that size move like that since Jalen Ramsey. So I'm not comparing. I'm just saying, you know, that's the level of athleticism they feel that he has. Caleb Farley will probably be a starting corner. You got Christian Fulton, who also had the yellow jersey on, will be on the other side. And then you mix in Roger McCreary, Elijah Molden. Molden, by the way, has done a lot of bike work, a little work on the side. He did not take part in team period or 7-on-7 over the last couple weeks, but we'll see what happens at the voluntary, or actually involuntary, right? The mandatory mini camp. We'll see what happens next week at that. But those are some of the things that I felt were interesting and wanted to bring to you. I felt it was a very revealing and transparent OTA session, right? Speaking to the guys as well as speaking to the coaches. So that's what we got there. And as far as the Treylon Burke situation is concerned, Mike Vrabel did hint that they knew about the asthma beforehand. So that's pretty much where they stand. Couple guys to watch as camp, you know, it closes in and becomes near. Julius Chestnut, I had him in my notes, and I was impressed with him. Just a big dude. I love his footwork at that size. I think he's like 235. Trenton Cannon is a guy I continually look at. And, you know, every time I'll say to myself, who is that? He hit that hole really quickly. And he shows some little wiggle after hitting the hole in this Trenton Cannon. So those are some guys I'll be looking at. I think Elijah, this year, because you know what happens every year, right? You fall in love with an undrafted free agent.
The camp darling.
Yeah.
Every year.
Makai Sargent was the guy last year. This year, I think it's going to be Brandon Lewis out of Air Force. That little rascal catches everything, and he's quick, cat quick. Wide receiver out of Air Force. He's going to be interesting to watch. So just putting it out there, that's going to probably be the camp darling. We'll see how he lives up to that proclamation that I just made. And we'll see how Chris Sanders lives up to the proclamation that we make as far as being the funnest 15 minutes on the game, Nashville, 102.5 the game. We'll be right back. Go pay these bills, and we'll have Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What are we? Here they come. All right, here we go. Music fades. The lights dim. It's coming. Do, 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 do. And now, starting for your New York Knicks at shooting guard, number 6, Trent Tucker.
And now, starting for the Tennessee Titans, it's tight end, Algie Crumpler.
Oh, no. I was just talking to somebody. You know Algie Crumpler's like 400 pounds now?
Dude, I heard he's 4 bills, man. But y'all look just alike, man. When I walk by, I'm like, man, he sure does look like TD, man.
That's crazy. Anybody ever tell you look like Kevin Willis?
Hey, you look like Ralph Sampson, man. What are we talking about?
Back when I used to have a baby fro, I just may have looked like.
Oh, you look like a ballpoint pen. Man, how you doing, man? What the heck is going on about Treylon Burks? What the heck is going on, man?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I asked Rob Moore about some positives and, you know, what are his thoughts about Treylon Burks? And he was like, well, it's beyond his control, some of the things he's going through. I mean, the kid has asthma.
He just
volunteered. Like, it was great that he was willing to share that. I don't know if it's something that he was supposed to do or if it's something – because, you know, sometimes coaches, they'll take one for their guys. Like, I ain't supposed to say it, but forget that. I'm tired of them dogging my youngin'. Let me go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, put something on it. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know.
But something's wrong. I mean, the thing about it is, at least, you know, it's not keeping everybody in the dark. Now we know what's going on. But here's the one thing I want to do. I know everybody's putting him down and, you know, saying that he's not ready. Yeah, he's not ready right now, but I care about this kid's health.
Right.
You know, I really do. I mean, we can talk about football all day long, and football is always going to be there. But I want to make sure this guy is okay, not just to play football, but just in life in general, man. So I don't want to be a knucklehead, you know, commentator or somebody talking on the radio because I want the Tennessee Titans to win. Let's focus on getting this guy right healthy so he can make this team better.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. And the asthma, I mean, there's multiple things that trigger it. I mean, it is triggered at times by the heat. It's triggered at times by physical exertion. It's also triggered by allergens. And we know Tennessee, Nashville specifically, it's that's an area where that is deep. So when you look at this asthma thing, like where are you as far as on the range of this being a risk factor?
I don't think it's a risk factor because I don't think the Tennessee Titans would draft him if it was a risk factor. I just think that, you know, the Tennessee Titans, Mike Vrabel, J-Rob, and also Treylon Burks and his family need to come up with a game plan. Okay, what's the game plan to make sure that he can go into camp, making sure the game plan is just to make sure he's all healthy overall. So if he's healthy overall and they come up with a game plan, I think that the reward is that he's going to be on the field and do some great things for the Tennessee Titans. But here's the deal, TD. We can't take this thing lightly because I know that we talk about this and we laugh and we joke about it. But just imagine if that cat goes out there and, you know, we want him to play so bad and something happens, then I don't want to sit around being sad. I'm not trying to make this, you know, this show to where, you know, it's doom and gloom, but I care about the kid's health. I care about him being okay. So if he's okay and coming up with a game plan, then I think the reward can be big.
But do you think this is not something that he dealt with at Arkansas when he was averaging 9.4 yards of yak?
I know. I mean, see, that's the point. And we talk about it, and I want to be careful when I say this because, you know, is it triggered here more because he's a little bit out of shape? I know we talked about it last week, and we kind of disagreed that, you know, it could be out of shape or whatever. But can that
like intensify it?
Yeah, can that intensify to where, you know, he comes in overweight and he has to exert and tries to breathe even harder because he's not where he was in Arkansas? So those are the questions that we need answers to, but, you know, we'll find out in September.
Well, let's say this. If he is at a point where he's not as well off as – or like if this isn't the same exact guy that we saw at Arkansas – is there time for him to get it together?
I really do. I mean, what day is it? Today is, I don't know what today is, but it's still 8th. Early.
Yeah.
It's June 8th. Our first game is in September. So there's still time and still come up with a game plan to make sure that he takes, you know, the precautions to make sure he's okay. Now, we always talk about, you know, guys coming in and being a professional. Professional is not just, well, I got to finish the sprint or I got to be on time for meeting. Being a professional is taking precaution in every facet of your life to make sure that you're at your best. So what he has to do is figure out a way to where he can do what he needs to do, you know, dealing with asthma, but also be at his best.
If you had to give him any advice, what would that be?
You know, I'm glad that you said that because I do want to get his number and actually talk to him and just sit there and just put football aside. And the one thing I will talk to him about is, man, how are you? How are you doing mentally? Because mentally, coming in as a rookie, he's already having to deal with, oh, I got to replace A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And now you got to deal with an asthma situation. There's a lot of pressure on this kid, TD, a ton. There's a lot of pressure. So the one thing I will do is just say, okay, no, you know what? Treylon Burks, let's take one day at a time. Let's get you back healthy. Let's don't focus on anything. Let's don't focus on the media. Let's don't focus on running the route. Let's don't focus on catching the ball. Let's figure out a way to fight this asthma. Then once we fight this asthma, now let's figure out how to run routes. Now let's figure out how to win a championship. So that's the kind of advice that I would give him. I wouldn't focus on trying to hurry up getting him back on the field. I want to make sure he's good for life so he can be prepared to be a great football player.
No doubt. That makes a lot of sense. I definitely can appreciate that.
Thank you.
As far as expectations, what is – and look, it's June. I know,
yeah.
What would you say is reasonable for him? Because here's the deal, right? The fact of the matter is when A.J. Brown left, he took 23% of the target share. Right. So there's an abundance of opportunity for these guys, for Robert Woods, right. Austin Hooper,
right, right,
for Treylon Burks, who in some cases is picked as the projected offensive rookie of the year.
Wow.
I can't call that, but that's why I want to get reasonable expectations. Ballpark, 40 to 50 receptions, 700 yards. Like, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think that target range is perfect right there. I mean, I think it's a success, you know, to catch 40 or 50 balls for 700 yards, because here's the kicker that we're talking about. Robert Woods is coming. He's looking better. Mm-hmm. So that's the factor to where it's going to help Treylon Burks take a lot of pressure off himself. So if he doesn't play with a lot of pressure, I think it's reasonable that he catches 40 or 50 balls. And I'm not just throwing it up because it's lofty, but with the potential that he has, potential's a bad word, but with the potential that he has, you know, even if it's just catching two or three, you know, passes a game, I just think that he's going to make this offense overall better with what he can bring to the table.
Is it fair to expect anything from, you know, any of the other guys, like any of the rookies, whether it's, you know, Reggie Robertson, mm-hmm. Kyle Phillips? Mm-hmm. At this point, like, are they just guys that it's like, if you get something, it's a surplus?
Yeah, I think so too, because, you know, if you look at the receiver room, how many guys do you know in that receiver room? We know Westbrook, we know Kenzie, but they're still kind of unproven. Does that make sense? You got Des Fitzpatrick that got, you know, cut last year and came back. So, you know, those guys still need to prove themselves. So I just think it's an added plus to where if Treylon Burks is not there, one of those guys steps up and takes reign and say, you know what, even though Treylon Burks is not there, I still can catch 30 or 40, 50 balls to keep this train moving with this offense.
And then just to move it back to Burks, since you mentioned him, you've been through the process, right? You went from big-time college, Ohio mm-hmm. State, to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
What were the biggest adjustments? Like, what do you think is the biggest thing that Burks, and we're just going to go, like, all things remaining normal. What are the biggest adjustments that you had to make, and what do you think he's facing?
Everybody talks about coverages in the speed of the game. The coverages are no different than college. I think when I got to the NFL, I got with a coach named Les Steckel, who taught me the innuendos and the in and outs of how to run routes, how to set guys up, how to lie with my eyes, how to, you know, come off the ball and base it off the nine route, all those things. And I think with Burks, for him to be successful, he's got to do the exact same thing. Because if you look at when he was at Arkansas, all he did was run bubbles and back shoulder catches and jumping over people and running by people. In this league, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to have to create separation by running routes. You're going to have to. Now, if he can do that, then now he becomes a running back. And that's what he specializes at. You know, when he catches the ball, he becomes a running back. Look at A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown, when he catches the ball, flat-out running back. Treylon Burks has the same thing, but the one thing that he has to improve on is running the route tree.
Right, the craftsmanship of being a receiver. Absolutely, and that's something that anybody, even Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, those guys have to do. Mandatory minicamp is coming up.
I'm ready, dog, balls.
Derrick Henry. If he doesn't show up,
oh my gosh,
is that a huge issue?
Dude, that's huge. That's huge, TD. If he doesn't show up, then everybody knows it's a contract situation. And can I really be honest with you?
Sure.
You there?
Yeah.
If I'm in his position, I would do the exact same thing, and I'm going to tell you why. Is that not show up? This is just me now. I'm just saying me. Because I got hurt last year, and now the projection of a running back, the longevity of it, is tough. And a couple of years ago, I was the best, and I'm being Derrick Henry, I was the best running back in the league. But now I'm not sure of the outcome of this season, and I want to ensure that I get paid. So by holding out, I'm going to make sure I get paid to make sure that I'm okay later in the future. I know, you correct me if I'm wrong, if that's selfish.
I don't think it's taking care of the business part of this game. The game has become business. I mean, is it selfish when the Titans cut Roger Saffold to save $10.5 million? I'm just asking.
That's the point. You're right, TD. That's the point that I'm making. is every if Henry does not show up to camp, what's the words that are people going to say in the media? What's people going to say in the gym?
Selfish.
What are people going to say in restaurants? That he's a selfish player.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In my opinion, I say no, because if he goes out there and gets hurt, his contract's not guaranteed.
And you know, his all he has on the books for next year is $3.3 million.
That's the point that I'm making.
So
if you're not sure of okay, say he gets out there the third game and he gets hurt. Do you think the Tennessee Titans are going to keep him that following year?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
They're going to either try to rework it or get him about it. I mean, look, Eddie George, what happened to him?
That's what I'm saying.
You know, so
he's got to do what's best for his family. I hate to say that, and I hate to, you know, to bring that to the forefront, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't show up. And if I'm Derrick Henry, and I'm not being selfish, I'm just making sure I'm taken care of because the team has to take care of the situation, I'm not showing up.
There you have it right there, Chris Sanders. That was Straight Talk, as we say on ESPN Radio. That was brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. That's as straight as it gets, man. I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely keep this thing moving.
Oh, man, appreciate you, TD.
Hey, did anybody tell you look like Craig Hodges?
Hey, I went to the YMCA, man. It's like, man, you do the show with TD. I'm like, yeah. They was like, man, he sure does look like Sam Cassell. And they had a picture of you, and they had a picture of Sam, and they couldn't tell the difference.
We're out on that note.
This is Jefferson, and I'm talking with TD.
That's right. Talking with TD, we are back from the break. That's the little insider song right there. We always crack up with that, my man. Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan, the czar of the playbook. That music you hear is Orange Juice Jones, Walking in the Rain. That's an old school track, man. Had to bring you in on that one.
Yeah, I'm laughing because once I heard it, I was like, here you go. I knew what that meant, man. That's the one classic video, let alone song.
Yeah, and you know that picture, Juice Jones, legs crossed at the table, puffing on a cigarette. That picture circulates through our group chat often, man. But yeah, man, it's great to have you on, because another thing that circulates through the group chat is a bunch of football talk. It's not available to the people, but if it was, they would love it. But we're gonna keep that thing private. But we'll let a little bit of it come out, and I wanted to get with you just about this Titans draft class. Wanted to touch on a few guys, and I joked with you yesterday, you know, Julius Chestnut out there looking like Natron Means, man, big man with sweet feet. You know about him from Sacred Heart, but what's there to like about Julius Chestnut?
He was so productive and has that good burst about his game, and when you have those type of backs, you kind of look at him and say, okay, this guy kind of fits with the NFL run game is like. You know, he's someone that can be a 4-minute offense guy if you need him to close out a game. You know, he understands how to handle volume, because he had to at Sacred Heart, because he was their go-to guy. He was a 3-time all-conference performer. I thought he was fantastic at the NFLPA game, and that was coming off of the Hula Bowl. The week before, he was at the Hula Bowl, then came out to Pasadena and did well at the NFLPA game. So I do think, because he has that experience at the collegiate level, handling volume, did what he did for Sacred Heart when he was the team's number one option, and to be able to come on the other side of that and be productive as he was, I'm not surprised that he's doing what he's done so far in camp.
Now, one other guy that I'm going to ask you about, and then I'll just – whoever you want to talk about from that group, you're welcome to, Reggie Robertson. I know he's the guy that Brandon Howard and I – you know, we put his name in the group chat a lot. We've liked him for quite some time. What is it that you like about Robertson?
I think he does a good job, and it's funny to start off talking about a receiver and talking about how well he blocks, but I feel like he does a great job on the perimeter in that regard, which means he's going to spring a lot of long runs. He did so at SMU. They had a fantastic back in Ulysses Gilbert, who just now transferred away from SMU. I forgot where he's going now, but that's the reason why we saw a lot of big runs coming from that Mustang offense. But as a receiver, he's good over the middle of the field. He's got very good acceleration. I feel like he could play multiple spots. You know, I have him slated as like an inside guy, but I feel like he could play on the outside, but also play slot receiver. In addition to that, that tightly, aligned X receiver. So he brings some good versatility. And he's someone that, you know, granted he had the back-to-back injuries in 19 and in 20. So you want to see him, you know, overcome that, regain that level of explosiveness. And, you know, he's also someone that can help out on special teams. So I'm a big fan of his game.
Yeah, he could definitely help out on special. That kick return ability that he has, you know, it's funny because you see it on the kick returns and also on the slants. Or not like he catches that deep in-breaking route, and he catches that thing, and you just see his head duck, and it kind of bobs, and he takes off, man. It's funny. Like, it really looks like he's running a track race when he gets the ball. And that's what happens when you have, you know, a football guy who has track speed, because I think he's that, not a track runner playing football. Chigakonkwo, he's a guy I know you spoke to at the Shrine Week, and he actually remembered the interview when I talked to him a couple weeks ago. What's your early take on Okonkwo? What do you like about his game?
I like that he embraces the role of being a receiver. You know, he doesn't shy away from understanding his athleticism and how good he is, and his advantage over a linebacker or a safety. He embraces that. He's like, yeah, I know I'm a good athlete. I know I can get open. I know I can catch football. I know I can be a dangerous receiving threat in somebody's passing game. That was some of the takeaways just from talking to him at the Shrine Bowl. And he lands in a spot, because I know you mentioned this before. He's kind of like Jonnu Smith reincarnated.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what they need in that offense. Another option that's a dangerous option. You know, someone that could be a legit game breaker at the tight end position. So he's good after the catch. He's not someone that's going to catch and drop. He's looking to score the ball once he has it in his hands.
Yeah, no doubt. He doesn't have that Zach Ertz syndrome, man. Get you that. Yeah, I love Zach Ertz, but, you know, he'll get you 0 yards after the catch, man. That's one thing that I always would pick at him about. But we mentioned Chigakonkwo. That's obviously not an undrafted free agent. But like I said, you spoke to him extensively at Shrine Week. So let's get back to some of these undrafted free agents. Are there any guys, you know, maybe Haskell Garrett, Trey Swilling, Trey Avery, because I know, you get to Rutgers and see them, Brandon Lewis from Air Force. Are there any particular guys in that group of undrafted free agents that stand out to you?
Yeah, overall, collectively as a group, I thought the Titans did a great job in bringing in talent. But Andrew Rupchik of Culver Stockton, the NAIA program, and first line in my notes, I was like, this guy legit dominated his competition. He might be the best offensive lineman in NAIA history.
Mm.
When you watch him on film, remember the clip of Andy Reid at the pump passing competition when he was a kid? That's what this dude looked like on film. He's like, man, he's legit larger than everybody, and he's playing like it. Like, you see him just throwing dudes out the way. And so it was funny to watch him on film and then go and see him live at the NFLPA game. Now he's up against FBS Power 5 competition, and he was doing a really good job there in one-on-ones. And we know one-on-ones are heavily slanted toward the defensive side of the football.
Mm-hmm.
And he was more than holding his own. So I'm excited to see how he progresses during the preseason, making that jump from NAIA to the NFL level. And Jalen McKenzie, if you know the McKenzie name, he's, not Raleigh McKenzie's, but one of the McKenzie twins' son. I can't remember which one because they, again, are twins.
Right,
but
right.
He was so underrated at the collegiate level. He's my 10th offensive tackle coming out of USC. Again, another guy that was excellent at the NFLPA game. And I will say this, going to the NFLPA game this year, it's my first time being out there in Pasadena. I was impressed with the level of talent. And he's someone that's very solid in pass, so good fundamentals, good all-around prospect. And you kind of expect that coming from, you know, Reggie and Raleigh McKenzie, how good of offensive linemen they were for a long time in the NFL. And Trey Swilling is someone who played through a lot of injuries, I thought, at Georgia Tech. So his freshman year, he was outstanding. Sophomore year, he was kind of the same guy. People shied away from him. Then he was a bit banged up his junior year and a little bit banged up this past season. So people kind of asked what happened to Trey Swilling. Well, you know, he was banged up. But if he's fully healthy, this is a guy that got good ball skills, good technique, good press skills, and, you know, definitely has a lot of ability. And he's coming from that, you know, we talk Georgia Tech, you got to bring up all the Swillings, Ken Swilling, Pat Swilling, good lineage there in his family background. So he has that pedigree. So I thought overall, you know, Tennessee did a great job in bringing these undrafted guys. But those are a few of the guys that really jumped out based off what I saw from them during the All-Star game circuit.
And we're talking to Emory Hunt of Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ as well. The Czar of the Playbook is what they call him. So you wrapped up about the undrafted free agent outlook. I'm curious your opinion. Treylon Burks, right? I spoke to Rob Moore, the receiver coach. It's funny, I always call him the original Rod Tidwell. He cracks up when I call him that. But, you know, that was him in Show Me the Money in that movie. But anyway, I talked to him about Burks, and he finally came out. Somebody from the Titans finally came out and said what's going on with him. He has asthma. How do you look at that, you know, when you compare that to Burks and some of the struggles he had? Do you think that that's a big problem? Do you think that's a health risk that the Titans are taking? Because that's what some of the fans are saying.
But, you know, they have to also understand when you're trying to build the B&O attack and receivers you're bringing in, like Treylon Burks, you know, yeah, sometimes it takes a little bit of adjustment. And I'm glad they talked about his asthma because that's a real thing. We both play with guys that have asthma or some sort of medical issue that, you know, the layperson may not understand how that affects them on game day. Guys that may have diabetes or guys that may have sickle cell, you know, or sickle cell trait. So all of that matters. But we saw him play productive ball at Arkansas. And, you know, I feel like he was someone that played so many different spots at Arkansas. He was like the jack of all trades, but a master of none. So he's also learning on the fly how to be set in one spot while also working through the rigors of the NFL practices. And it's still an adjustment. Think about the time, you know, TD, you went from high school to college, how you could probably coast through a high school practice. When you get to college, there's a different level of, you know, energy you need. I can only imagine going from Arkansas to, you know, Tennessee, and it's not people are always just the he should be used to the heat. It's not the heat, because that's, you know, you're still dealing with the same humidity and heat from Arkansas to Tennessee. It's the ramp up in urgency and adrenaline and all that stuff that you need to play professional level, especially you doing something that you probably hadn't done at your time at Arkansas. You kind of, your body gets used to playing a certain way or going through the motions. But now you have to change it up and do something different in conjunction with you having asthma. Yeah, you're going to have these little hiccups, but as the summer rolls on, you're going to see the Treylon Burks that we saw at Arkansas really take shape, and we won't even begin to talk about what, you know, happened in the summer once he was in the middle of the season catching touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's not a time to panic or anything like that. It's good that the information came out. I'm moving on to another prospect, and we're going to save Malik Willis for last. But Roger McCreary, I came over to you at the combine after I talked to him, and I told you, I said he's a guy that, you know, if we were on the same team and practice against each other, we'll fight every day. And that's he's just that feisty of a corner. And to no surprise, the thing that everybody's talking about with him already is his competitiveness. So Roger McCreary, what's your breakdown on him? What are your thoughts there?
This was the one guy that I kind of looked up out of the media scrum, while watching film and seeing all the talk on Twitter and folks talking about prospects and debating Stingley and Sauce Gardner. And, you know, I'm looking around like, wait, so no one's talking about Roger McCreary?
Yep.
Every time I watch a game that has a top receiver, Penn State, I'm watching Jahi Dotson. You go to Alabama, you watch both Mechie and Jamison Williams. You go to Arkansas, you're watching Treylon Burks. You go to Mississippi State, you're watching Mekhi Polk. Every time I look up, they played Auburn, they're having their worst game against Roger McCreary. To me, that would be the number one corner, right? So I love the fact that he has ball skills. I love the fact that he can play inside or out. I love the fact that he can press. He has good instincts. He's solid in run support. Everyone talks about the short arm. Okay, cool. Maybe if he, you know, had longer arms, he would have 38 interceptions instead of 38 pass breakups. But 38 pass breakups is still 38 pass breakups. So he's always around the football. Yep. I like the guy's ability. I thought that was a steal for Tennessee to get him. And now you have a healthy Caleb Farley. You have Roger McQuarrie. Christian Fulton, I'm still a big fan of. We saw how much Chris Jackson grew in this team. Elijah Molden, whom they drafted last year, is another really good nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
This secondary now has some dogs on it and guys that can go get the football. And I love that about what they were able to build and bring in when you talk about someone like McQuarrie.
No doubt about it. Yeah, McQuarrie, he's a guy. And I'll say this. I think the Titans got three first-round picks in this draft. We know that Burks is a first-round talent. I felt that McQuarrie was the back end of the first-round talent. A lot of people have Malik Willis as a top 20 player. Let's get into Malik Willis and your thoughts on him. I know you watched him extensively. I got to talk to him a little bit yesterday, and I just told him, I said, listen, man, I'm going to make sure that things about you come out the right way, and we're going to make sure that you're represented correctly. What are your thoughts on Malik Willis?
Big fan of his game, man. And you know, this goes back to your eyes never lie. If you go back to the pandemic season of 2020 and you're watching Liberty, you're like, you know, this dude is clearly on a different level mm-hmm. in terms of the arm strength. You talk about Josh Allen or even Michael Vick or Jeff George type arm strength where the ball just travels faster and farther than you can possibly imagine, like a Patrick Mahomes. You talk about the speed. You know, he's built like a running back, but he has that breakaway speed. He may not be shifty or elusive, but you won't catch him when he gets into the open field. And that just harkens back to what we used to see with Michael Vick. And I was like, wow, I'm excited to see this guy progress. So they had a better year in 2020 than he did in 2021. They practically won the ACC in 2020, knocking out Virginia Tech and knocking out Syracuse. They should have beat NC State. Then this season, the team wasn't as good, but they still got to a bowl game. I think he is someone, you know, he will probably remind a lot of Titans fans of Steve McNair and the raw prospect he was. He probably wasn't as raw, in my opinion, as McNair was coming out of Alcorn. But he's someone that, if you're patient, it's going to work out for him and also for the Titans because he has the leadership skills. He has all the intangibles. He has the on-field athleticism that you need in today's game. And you like that he is fearless. And if that's the case, you know, yeah, you got a solid veteran right now that's able to start Ryan Tannehill. Tennessee could you know, slow walk him, and, you know, into this offense. And then next thing you know, he's ready to take over in 23. This was a steal pick for me. Because he went in the third round. There were multiple teams that had an opportunity to take him in round two. The Giants, you know, you think about someone like Carolina, you think about someone like Pittsburgh could have taken him in the first round. Tennessee got themselves someone that's going to help them stay competitive in what looks to be now a very competitive AFC when you think about all the type of athletic mobile quarterbacks that are stockpiled on this side of the league.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch the development, and it's been fun watching not your development but your progression. You know, we're getting to see you all over the place now, at CBS HQ, and at all the All-Star games, and man, just keep that up, man. It's definitely encouraging seeing everything happen, and you know we got it from the mud, man. I remember all the way back to doing the Heisman things and. Just going to Shrine Week in Tampa, St. Pete, right? Going to Cane's, getting that chicken. Doing what we do, man. So it's been great watching your rise.
Hey, man, same to you, man. It's great to see you doing all the things that you set out to do, man. And, again, we remember the come up, you know, getting it out the mud. And it shows you, and it should tell your listeners that hard work always pays off, man. I've never seen – hard work not pay off, and you're a living example of what that means of being, you know, self-made with a little bit of help. We all have help along the way, but self-made for sure is Teron Davenport, man. Appreciate you always, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, Emory Hunt, Football Game Plan, CBS Sports HQ, the czar of the playbook. You've just been blessed. So that was Emory Hunt, the czar of the playbook of footballgameplan.com, as well as CBS Sports HQ. It's always good to talk shop with him, man. We go way, way back. Like staircases and old E. You know what I'm saying? That's how it works. So I appreciate Emory coming on. As always, Chris Sanders coming on, making this thing happen. Elijah Campbell hitting the switches, keeping this thing regulated and ready to go. Lastly, I appreciate each of you. Definitely continue to stay tuned. Appreciate you coming on and listening. Definitely continue to check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you listen to fine podcasts. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you. God bless. Good night.